Galatians chapter 1, and it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. Our sins. They weren't his, they were ours. And he gave. He's the giver. Who gave himself, he's the sacrifice. Not the blood of bulls and goats, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us. He's our deliverer. I can't deliver myself. You can't deliver yourself. Jesus Christ came to be our deliverer. It's like a man drowning in the ocean who's beyond the ability to save himself. He's too far out to save himself. He's out of energy and he's about to go down. Somebody comes along and saves him. Jesus Christ is our deliverer. He's our savior. That's true when we were lost, and that's true in our Christian journey. Paul said, who shall deliver me? Oh, wretched man that I am, I have tried everything I know to do to deliver myself, and I can't do it. I need a deliverer. Who is going to deliver me? And he said, oh, it's Jesus Christ. All of the fear, all of the anxiety, all of the struggles, all of the things that we deal with on the inside, all the question marks, everything that goes on inside of us, who's going to deliver us? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, the study of the heart is a wonderful thing. We've studied the heart and learned so many things about it. We can even take a person, we can actually cut a person open, take their heart out, work on it, and put it back in. That's just amazing. I mean, I was like, how in heaven's name did we ever progress to this point in this world to study the heart? Shirley, both lungs removed and somebody else's lungs put inside of her, and she's been living 10 years, I think, she recently celebrated 10 years with somebody else's lungs. Oh my word, that's the marvel of medicine. And then you have the mind, the study of the mind, psychology, the study of the mind. The mind is an organ created by God to work and function a certain way. And we study the mind, but yet the mind cannot fully be what it is supposed to be. It cannot know its full rest, its full peace. It cannot function like it was designed to function if you take God out of the equation. The mind wasn't designed to function apart from God. We study the mind, that's psychology, but psychology without God is missing the major equation. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off the old man. He said, how do I do that? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on what's new. Oh, that little parable that Jesus gave that we spoke about this morning of the wineskin, the leather wineskin called the bottle that has the old wine in it, and it has expanded. And if you take that old wine, you dump it out, and you try to put new wine into it, and it expands again, and it will burst that leather skin, that bottle. It will burst it. You have to take the new wine, and that represents the new covenant and the truths of the new covenant and the power of the new covenant. And you've got to put it into a new wineskin. You can't go back to the old and try to put the new in it. It won't work. It absolutely will not work. Man's brain can't work that way. We need the mind of Christ. That is the new wineskin, and then we've got to pour into it the new wine, the new covenant truths. New wine, new skin. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, the power is in the truths that come forth from Mount Calvary, and those are renewing to our mind. Oh, the study of the mind. The scripture feeds the mind, the new mind in Christ. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. He is our great deliverer from this present evil world. Everything in the present tense that's going on that's evil personally in your world and corporately in the world around us and society. And you name the evil, everything evil going on, he came to deliver us. It's interesting to me, and I believe this is true. There are lots of people who will live their lives and they will never fully get out of the mess that they find themselves in. Doesn't mean they can't, just lots of people don't. They never get out of the mess. There are lots of people, they never take their last drink. It doesn't happen. They never get there. I know people personally right now are on that journey. They're trying to get to the last one and they're still not there. It's a struggle. It's hard. There are some people who will never get there. they'll never get to what we would call victory. And though I'm a believer that in Christ he can take us behaviorally into a place of victory, there are people that behaviorally will never taste that behaviorally, but our victory is not in our behavior. Ultimately, our victory does rest in Christ. And even the man Samson, I think I mentioned him last week, even the man Samson, with all of the messes that he made, the messes that he found himself in, the mess that caused him to have his eyes gouged out, the mess that made him a servant to the people he once conquered. He never really got out of all the messes of his life. But through Jesus Christ the Deliverer, he stepped out of this world into the next world. And oh, he's in full victory tonight. He's in full victory. I just pause and I think about that. How many messy situations are going to find such complete resolve when we step out of this world into a kingdom that is perfect, without the old nature? We don't carry the old out of this life. We leave the old behind and step into the new. Why? Jesus is our deliverer. Jesus is our deliverer. I personally believe there are New Covenant, New Testament truths so powerful they can actually break the bondage and the chains, behaviorally speaking, when it comes to sinful behavior and problems that just follow us, whether it's the worry, whether it's the anxiety, whether it's fear and faithlessness and all the different ways that we're troubled by that old nature of sin. But boy, when we step out from this world to the next, we step into complete victory. That to me is an awesome thought. That to me is an awesome thought. Oh, I want to taste it. I want to experience as much of it as I can right now. But even the Apostle Paul said, I don't claim to have apprehended everything yet. I'm pressing on to apprehend it, but I haven't apprehended everything. And he's not talking about what he had in Christ. He's talking about behaviorally speaking. He had not apprehended everything yet, but boy, he was still pressing in the truths of grace. Who gave himself for our sins, verse 4, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God. It was God's will that our deliverance would come through Jesus Christ. That was God's plan. God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. I marvel, and this is where we were last week, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He says, I marvel that of all people, you are the ones who have been removed from the truths of grace by those who are promoting another gospel, and it's not another gospel. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert, literally meaning to turn aside, to turn you away from the gospel of Christ. They would pervert the gospel that we brought to you in Christ. They're bringing to you a gospel message that is void of Christ. And there are three great faith groups in the world today, and I mean great simply by size and scope. There are three great faith groups in the world today. All three embrace Moses. All three embrace Mount Sinai. All three talk about Abraham, but only one of the three embraces Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Any message that comes to connect somebody to God, but Jesus is removed from the equation, he's not believed to be the Son of God, that is another gospel turning people away from Jesus Christ. And Paul says, let them be accursed. Verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now that's strong language. And the other gospel or other gospels that he's referring to here, it's any message of good news, a connection to God, but Jesus Christ is like completely missing. Okay? And Paul and the other apostles had to deal with this in the early church, and For them, the primary problem was the Jewish faith that they were all coming out of. Judaism was the one that was most problematic to them. Judaism, where Pharisees, who were a Jewish sect that did not believe Jesus to be the Christ, wanted to take true believers and attach them to the law, and in attaching them to the law, tried to promote the law as the relationship with God. You relate to God through the holy law. And this was the problem that's being addressed in Galatians. This is a problem we see addressed in the book of Acts. There were unbelieving Pharisees who were trying to take the early Christians and attach them to God, not through Christ, but through the law of Moses. And they were unbelievers, rejectors of Christ, trying to attach people to God through the law. That's another gospel. That one doesn't work because the Bible says if you don't have Jesus, you don't have God the Father. And that's what works. Now, let me just be careful on this here, because Christianity is not the enemy of the Jewish people. Christianity is the fulfillment and answer for the Jewish people, just like it is for you and I. Christianity is not the enemy of the Jewish people. The Bible teaches that the Jewish people are like a natural branch, an olive branch, and they've been broken off in unbelief. Now, that doesn't mean all Jewish people are. There are Jewish people who are Messianic Jews. They believe Jesus to be the Christ of God. But they're like a branch broken off. And the Bible says that the Gentile nations are like a wild branch that's been grafted in. You know, you make the slice and you put the branches together and you tie them up, and eventually that branch that's not natural to the tree begins to draw its life. And the Gentile nations are likened to that wild branch. But the Bible also says, look, if a wild branch can be grafted into the vine and live, don't think for a second that God's not capable of reaching back to the natural branch itself, the Jewish people, and grafting them back in. And then you get a whole line of prophecy right there, but God is going to come. He will, he has a prophecy and a plan for the Jewish people. But Christianity is not the enemy of the Jewish people. Christianity really is not the enemy of any other religion, but Christianity in Christ Jesus, I believe this tonight, and I believe that you believe it tonight. Christianity is the answer. In Christ Jesus, we have the answer. It's the answer for all the people groups of the world. And it is the belief in Jesus Christ that is the moving of God through faith to reveal in an individual that this Jesus was not just a man. He was the Son of the living God. And this is the saving element. So when Paul gives a reproof, a rebuke about another gospel, he's talking about any gospel message, and gospel is simply good news, thinking that you can find the good news in God apart from Christ, well, be careful of that. That's another gospel. Now, I'll reiterate this tonight, and I don't know how important this is. Maybe it's not important to you at all, but I said it last week. There is within the Church of Jesus Christ various labels that we put on different groups within the body of Christ. And for those who are familiar with these terms and the theology behind it, fine. If not, that's okay too. But there are Calvinists, and they talk about Jesus Christ through the lens of Calvinism. It's also Reformed theology. It was the theology of the Reformers. And some people would listen to Calvinism and go, oh, that's another gospel. Well, no, it's not. Same Jesus, same cross, same deity, same baby in the manger. And where you have Jesus, you have the gospel. And if somebody sits in a church and they have Reformed theology, Calvinistic theology, and they hear Jesus preached and they believe in the Jesus of that message, they are believers in Jesus Christ, and the Bible is very clear. Those who believe that Jesus is the Christ of God are born again, period, end of conversation. Calvinism, I don't wear the Calvinism label, But Calvinism is not another gospel. Lordship salvation, I don't wear that label, but lordship salvation is not another gospel. Nobody's going to hell because they heard Jesus presented in the lordship salvation message. Nobody is. If they believe Jesus to be the Christ of God, they may hear it through the lens of a lordship salvation presentation or a Calvinism presentation or an Arminianist presentation or easy believe it. All the different labels that some of you here tonight are very familiar with, those are not other gospels. They all preach the exact same Jesus. And where somebody believes in Jesus to be the Christ of God, they are a believer, and believers go to heaven. That's it. Nobody's going to stand before God, and God's going to say, "You believed in my son, but you were a Calvinist. I can't let you into the kingdom. Get out of here." We don't let Calvinists in here. And I'm not a Calvinist. I wouldn't wear that label. Oh, you believed you had to repent of all of your sins. You're part of that lordship, salvation, repentance. Get out of here. We don't let you in. God's not going to do that. Come on. But yet you will hear sometimes these different groups hurl this verse at one another. Oh, that's another gospel. Like, Calvinists do not go to heaven. That is another gospel. The lordship salvation people, oh, that's another. No, it's not another gospel. It's not how I articulate it. There's theological differences I have, but I'm not going to stand up and say that they're all lost, going to hell, and God's going to look at them and say, oh, Calvin, we don't let Calvinists in here. Arminianists only. Oh, no. Believers in Jesus Christ only. And there are Calvinists who are believers in Jesus Christ, Arminianists who are believers in Jesus Christ, lordship salvation people who are believers in Jesus Christ, easy believism people who are believers in Jesus Christ. The believing in Jesus Christ, folks, is the saving element. I also said this, and I enjoyed saying it, and I feel like I need to say it again tonight. If somebody, you know, they go, oh, I remember the night I got saved and I gave my life to Jesus. It's like, well, that's great. I'm glad you gave your life to Jesus. It's a good thing. That's probably not Bible terminology for what the saving element is. The saving element is you believe Jesus to be the Son of God. We take that, we use so many different phrases like, I invited Jesus into my heart. I gave my life to Jesus. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. The woman at the well didn't. She forgot that one. She didn't ask that. All the different ways we phrase the salvation event, if it works for somebody, I'm good with it. Until it doesn't, and I hope you understand what that means, because there may come a day where you go, you know what? I keep trying to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I've done it like I don't know how many times, and I still am not quite sure if he's my Savior. Okay? That terminology, I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I'm going to give him my life. I'm going to invite him in my heart. If that works, well, God bless you, but if you ever get to the point where that ain't working for you, then let's sit down and let's talk biblically about what salvation really is, because this one will work for you. If the other ones aren't working, this one will work. I know, I promise you, this one will work. And I won't tell you to pray a prayer. I won't tell you to ask Jesus into your heart. I won't tell you to put all of your faith in him and trust him only. I will ask you one question. Can you look at me and tell me honestly from your heart, do you believe Jesus, like this Jesus, is the Son of God? And if the answer is yes, I got a Bible says, if you can confess that with your mouth, that is the belief of your heart, if you can tell me that with your mouth, I can tell you back from the Bible, you are God's child, because everybody who believes that Jesus is the Christ of God is born again, a child of God. It's not the fact that you asked him into your heart when you believed, whenever that was. I don't even care when that was. I don't even need you to know when that was. I just need to know right now, today, can you tell me, sitting here, yes, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I know that from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I know I believe. Okay. then I'm telling you, you're going to heaven when you die. And ain't nothing between now and the grave going to change that. I don't care when you first believed. That's like me saying, if you can't tell me when you were born, the day, the date, and the place, I don't believe you've ever been born. Well, if I'm standing here talking to you face to face, the very presence of your body tells me you were born somewhere, someday, someplace, somehow. I don't need to know that. And if you can tell me you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm talking to a brand new spirit. I'm talking to a brand new creation. And I don't know when it happened. I don't even care when it happened. I know it happened because I'm talking to it. You get that? Okay, now, I'm not against. I've heard some fantastic testimonies. And I mean, they're just like, I wished I had that testimony. It's like, man, that's the testimony I want right there. That's just awesome. Say, Pastor Kip, when did you get saved? I don't even know. I got saved so many times. I was getting saved every time the evangelist came through town. Yeah, back to my bedroom on my knees. Oh, God, this time, please, I'm begging you, please. I'm trusting you with everything I got. I'm sitting in the chair and my feet are off the floor. I'm going to give you everything. Come into my life. And, you know, and it's just like a never-ending battle. And you go, you know what? The day God revealed the truth in Scripture to me, Kip Morrow, you are a believer. And those who believe are children of God. And it was just like, whew, just, I didn't have to try to get rid of fear. I didn't have to try to find peace. It just like came, you know. It just like came in. No effort, not of me. It was of God. It was Spirit. Like, I'm a believer. I've been a believer for a really long time. What a shame I spent so much time wrestling with something that was already certain in Jesus Christ. Now, those who believe in Jesus as the Son of God and the Christ of God, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. I know people, you know, they're like, they can't be saved. They go to a Pentecostal church. It's like, do they not believe, they don't preach like the cross over there? I don't know what all they preach. I've never been. Well, yeah, actually, I have. I've been a couple times to a Pentecostal church. Far as I know, they're preaching the same Jesus I preach. And it's not the baggage you put on the message. That won't undo Jesus. I don't know if we understand that or not. Because in the book of Acts, the unbelieving Pharisees who were preaching another gospel, an attachment to God without Jesus, they were rebuked. But there were believing Pharisees who were like mixed up about Judaism and the law, and we've got to make sure that the Gentiles convert to Judaism and they keep the law before God because this is our standing before God. They were true believers in Jesus Christ. Paul never said to them, let them be accursed. He actually stepped in to help straighten them out. Not as unbelievers, but as confused believers. You understand the difference? There's unbelievers, and then there's confused believers. But the confusion doesn't undo the belief. That's like really powerful to me. The confusion doesn't undo the belief. Calvinism, lordship salvation, Arminianism, all these, we're putting labels all over everything, and if you're not this, you're that, and that's another gospel, and we're all believers in the exact same Jesus. Exact same cross, exact same baby in the manger, exact same risen Lord, exact same substitution for sin, the great exchange, reconciliation. I just love that thought from this morning. We have a ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation literally means exchange. God exchanged, he exchanged his righteousness for our sin for his righteousness. What an exchange that is. Man, count, I'm all in on that one. I need that one. Praise God. I need that one. So he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you. He says, I marvel that ye, this group, this particular group, these Galatian Christians, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel that I gave you, which was in Christ. They said, why is he marveling at this group? Because he had invested teaching in truth. He had given this group the meat of the word. Not the milk, he had given them the meat of the word. The truth of the gospel that is in Jesus Christ, not just for salvation, but understanding we who begin in the Spirit must continue in the Spirit. That's what the book of Galatians is largely about. We who begin in the Spirit have to continue in the Spirit. But this group started out with a new wineskin, receiving the new wine, and then they were convinced to go back and think according to the old wineskin and the old wine. And Paul said, of all people, you're not getting away with this. I taught you better than that. Now, there are other places in Scripture. I'm about out of time, and I'll wrap it up. There are other, we'll look at it next week probably. There are other places in Scripture where people, where believers were doing the same thing, but they had never been taught and schooled like the Galatian Christians. And Paul actually says, look, if they keep holy day and they do it to the Lord, leave them alone. And I read that and I go, wait a minute, that's not what he's telling these people. It's almost like he says one thing to one group and another thing to another group, and he does. He says one thing to one group and one thing to another group. To the Galatians, he says, you of all people should not be doing this. And then to another group, he says, look, they haven't been schooled and they don't know, leave them alone. If they're keeping holy days and they're abstaining from meats and they think the Lord wants to do it, just leave them alone right now. And we'll bring them along. But this group, he says, no. I've had you down this path. I schooled you. I taught you. And you know better than this. I've given you the meat of the word. And you're behaving like people who still need milk. And he gives to them a rebuke that he doesn't give to some other people in other places who are doing the same thing. But this group, to whom much is given, much is required. And Paul said, I'm going to require some things from you because I have taught you. We begin in grace, we continue in grace, and we're going to take the wineskin of the new mind in Christ and fill it with new covenant truths, and that's how we are going to move forward in the power of the Spirit of God. It's gospel to get saved. It's the gospel of grace as we are discipled and journey in our Christian lives. So we'll pick it up there next week, and we'll talk about some more stuff. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time here.